Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, a few years ago, teacher Ciarán Mulqueen wanted to buy a house in Dublin. Good luck with that, I hear you say. Well, he did eventually buy a house, but the process was long and arduous. And what he learned along the way, he wanted to share with others. So he set up Crazy House Prices, a social media platform for people to share information. And now he has written a book on the topic. It's called How to Buy a Home in Ireland. I have it here in my hand. A Guide to Navigating the Irish Property Market. It's published by Hachette. Ciarán, good morning and welcome to you.
Thanks, Claire. Good morning.
So everything you learned is in here from the very start, the whole way through. And it was almost by accident that you sort of found your people, you found your tribe, your audience when you were trying to buy a house.
Yeah. It's about 3 years of conversation, thousands and thousands of conversations. And I'm just one of those people, I research everything. And I just wanted to put all that 3 years of knowledge gathering into like one place, because I get so many questions like, what do I do with this? I've always just been like, I need to put something
together
where they can just go to that, because it's all in there and it's full of all little tips.
So your search started in 2018 with Melissa, your wife, at that time, and you wanted to buy a house in Dublin, which, you know, a lot of people want to do, but not everybody can. And you just found out at that time how difficult it was.
Yeah, because we're both teachers, so we needed to live in Dublin, and we're both from Dublin. So it was important that we were, you know, close enough to work, close enough to family. And it's just one of those things where unless you're actually looking, you maybe don't realise quite how tough it is. And that was kind of 3-4 years ago now. And it's only gotten a lot worse since. So that's, again, why I wrote a book, because I'm hoping it can help people. It's basically what I wanted to know. Like, I wish I had that book when we were looking, because I had to learn as I went along. Whereas I would have liked to have known all of this beforehand, because you can save yourself a lot of time if you have the research done.
And it was the skinny house for over 250,000 that really got your goat at the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it never sold, shockingly. the house next door to it's for sale now, I think. But that one was more, you know, it was never on our radar in terms of something that would be for us, because it's too small. But that was more just a bit of a joke, you know. And I had been posting about the madness of houses on my personal Instagram page, and it was getting, you know, loads of people were finding it really funny. So I was like, look, I better set up a little separate one. And
you said at the time, I remember, that it was an alleyway, it was a laneway that someone put a roof over, and if you were too tall, you wouldn't be able to lie down sideways, like across in the house. And it was on the market for, was it 265,000 at the time?
265, I think. Yeah, the story goes that they started building the street at either end, and they were left to this gap in the middle, and, you know, they stuck a roof on it. But it's kind of with the housing side of things, it's a bit more humorous, because there's a lot of legalities involved. You're not as vulnerable buying a home, whereas when you're renting, it's far more vulnerable. So I think more of the shocking things come from the rental side. But in terms of the home buying side, it's a little bit more humorous, I think.
Well, you went to look at a lot of houses, and you almost fell in love with a couple of houses, and then you got into those bidding wars that a lot of people who've been through this would be familiar with. And when you fall in love with a house and that happens to you, it is horrible. It's happened to me, where you've imagined yourself living there. Yeah. You know, you have your children installed in the rooms, and then you don't get the house.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's really difficult for people. But I think, and you probably found this as well, I think in the end, very often is the case anyway, where you'll find the one that is, even though you fell in love with maybe a different house beforehand, this one suits you better. And maybe felt like that as well.
I drive past the one that we didn't get and I go, thank God we didn't get that
exactly,
house.
Yeah.
But at the time, I thought it was the only one that we were supposed to live in. And you have to sort of grieve that and get over it and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think the one you find in the end nearly always tends to be
the right one.
The right one, yeah.
And so you were in that situation where you were being outbid. So you found another way to go about it, which I know loads of people now have taken your lead on this and they've adopted the write a letter to the householder.
Yeah, and I have a full chapter on it in the book because it's probably the most common asked question I get on my Instagram page. But I, as a someone who like problem solving, if there's a problem, I'm like, okay, let's figure it out. What can I do to get around it? And for us, the problem was the bidding wars. There were too few homes and too many people looking for each home. So I was like, okay, how can we cut out the middleman, go direct to sellers? And look, I know it's not going to work for everyone. And I say that in this, in the book, in the it's one of the first chapters in the book, that it's, you have to go about it the right way. It can be a bit invasive to some people, and to some others, it can be a match made in heaven, you know, which is what happened to us.
I noticed in that chapter that you're so careful about the language that you advise people to use, because you have to put yourself in the position of the person through whose letterbox this letter is coming. And you've got to be very careful how you word that letter.
Exactly. You just think, would you be okay to receive this in the door? Maybe it could be people going through a separation. It could be somebody has died. You know, you got to think of maybe the worst scenario and think, if that was me, would I be okay receiving this letter in the door? And luckily, my wife is my wife is much better with words than I am. She probably should have written the book, but she kind of put the letter together and wrote it really well. And yeah, look, it worked for us. And I know it has worked for a lot of people since. And other people then have kind of taken that approach to, because my whole thing was about buying off market. So kind of avoiding the estate agent altogether. But a lot of people have used it for buying on the market for homes that are with estate agents.
Yes.
And they're bidding, and maybe they're getting towards their final bid, and they ask the estate agent, would they forward on maybe a little brief email about their own circumstances. Now, some agents will do that and some won't. And I can understand both sides of that. So my advice is in the book, and for what we did, was for off market. But I know lots of people have had success with it when bidding.
When they're
well.
In a bidding situation. Now, you're not a financial advisor, and we should make that clear.
Yeah.
But you do talk in the book about the mortgage limit, and people will often ask themselves, well, should I borrow to the limit, to 3.5 times my salary? What's your own take on that, Ciarán?
It's really tough, and definitely get professional advice, because when we were doing our mortgage, the mortgage rates were at their lowest. So like, we have a 4-year fixed at 2.1% because we got the green rate, because we renovated the house and got it up to an A rating. But you're looking at probably a minimum 3.5-4% now for the same. So do the sums, and I've loads of resources in the book in terms of kind of free websites you can use. Like, so there's a really handy, the CCPC website, which is the government one, is really good. There's a handy one called Carl's Mortgage Calculator, and you can basically put in the interest rates and figure out exactly how much interest you're going to be paying over those years, because you might get cashback offers or whatever, and you can figure out, okay, what's going to be the best financial decision for me long term. And you really just want to pay as little interest as you can. But to be borrowing at your max with a higher interest rate, it's a really tricky one you need to take in. And to be fair, banks are quite cautious about this now since the last crisis, that they're not just throwing money at people. They will look at your disposable income after you pay out all your outgoings, whether that's your mortgage, childcare, whatever. So you may not be able to, first time buyers can technically borrow up to 4 times your income, but you, just because you can, you may not actually be offered that by the lender. So
the 4 times is with an exemption, is it?
No,
or is it 3.5 times?
It used to be 3.5 times for first time buyers. Now it's 4 times. And the exemption then, there's no one really knows how high the exemptions can go now. Some people say 4.5 times, some people say 4.75. I've heard 5 times from one lender. So it
so the bank has discretion with a certain number of mortgages, or up to a certain value. Do you think that the generations who've come ahead of this one, the buying generation at the moment, do they get it? Do they understand how hard it is?
I think it's getting there. We're not hearing as much of the old, you know, stop eating your avocado on toast. We're not hearing that as much anymore. And I think it's because it might be hitting home with a lot of people now, as their children are becoming adults, yeah. and this maybe talk about emigrating again, which is kind of what I grew up in 10 years ago when all my friends left. So I think there's a lot of talk of that again, and that's probably quite scary to the previous generation or the generation before, who are seeing maybe their kids or their grandkids looking at leaving, because they housing impacts everything, health, education, absolutely everything. And when people can't live near family or near work, or and they look towards emigrating, I just think that's a really sad kind of reflection on how we're doing as a society when people feel it might be easier to go elsewhere.
Well, I think for anyone who's looking at somebody who's working and in private rented accommodation, I just can't see how you would save for a house in that situation, given where rents are at the moment, particularly in cities. This is close to impossible, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I know there's some couple of government schemes that can kind of help with the saving up the deposit. But then it's also just a complete lack of homes available for sale. So
yeah.
It's the whole rental market now, which is kind of, you know, it's on all the news, it's in all the papers, it's everywhere. And it's really scandalous what's going on in it. And it's so precarious, which is, again, why I think owning your own home should be achievable for everybody. Again, why I wrote the book, because I want to try and make it easier for people. But it's devastating for people to know that they can be evicted at any moment. And I see, as a teacher, I see, you know, there's children, so many children homeless, and that to me is devastating. So it's a really, really tough situation. And I think everybody understands now how difficult it is. And if they don't, please just think, let's say you didn't have your home tomorrow, just go on to AFT or go on whatever and see, can you find somewhere to rent? And you might very quickly learn how difficult it is. And people aren't just complaining for the sake of it.
Basically nothing out there in many parts of the country. You mentioned daft.ie, and last week we heard from them that the asking prices had fallen slightly for the first 3 months of the year. Myhome.ie saying the same actually today. Is that good news for potential buyers? How do you read that?
It's asking prices, so it's not the sold prices. But then I understand why they use the asking prices, because the sold prices are more a snapshot as to what the market was like maybe a year ago, because it takes so long to buy a home in Ireland with all the legalities and all the issues that can happen. So it is a good kind of reflection of what's happening now. And I think it is significant that it's the first time they've dropped in 10 years, even though it's only 0.3%. I do think that's significant. And I think it's interest rates kind of having their impact now. But I don't think it's good news for buyers, because they're in that conundrum. If they feel like, am I going to be buying in 2008 again? Am I going to be buying at the top of the market? And the price is going to drop significantly over the next 4 years. Who knows? I don't think they will. But you run the risk of, if you hold on, you're paying a higher interest rate, and you may lose out on that home. So I wouldn't let it impact my decisions.
And Kieran, you said there that it takes so long to buy a house in Ireland. You haven't found a way to circumvent that, have you, in your experience?
I have a whole chapter on what I think might help improve things in the book. A lot of issues, probate, solicitors, everything takes so long. Like in other countries, you can be in and out in 4 weeks. So I do think there could be a huge overhaul in how the whole process here in Ireland. And there is a chapter on that in the book where I have maybe some suggestions that I think might help.
Yeah, but you can't circumvent it at the moment. You've just got to go through it and go with it and all the delays that are there. So you've moved into the house. As you said, you renovated it, yourself and your wife, and you have a daughter now, isn't it?
Yeah, Maisie. Yeah, she's 14 months. So she's running around the place. Well, kind of running around. Sometimes she wants to walk, sometimes she doesn't. But yeah, that was kind of our why. And that's something I always say to people, is just when they get a bit, feel like they're not going to get there, just think about your why. And that for us was our why. We wanted a home to start our family. So,
and is it your forever house?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Once we don't outgrow it, but I think we'll be all right. Yeah.
Well, best of luck to you and congratulations on the book, How to Buy a Home in Ireland, A Guide to Navigating the Irish Property Market, published by Hachette. And it's out now by Ciarán Mulqueen. Ciarán, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to see you. We're going to take a break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.